Okay. So on Daf Yud Zayin it says on the Kaf Torah who was in the Darshan, Gargus who was in the Doishan. So if you buy these the dates or figs and you're going to do some more in other words you have plans to complete the melacha on these items after you buy them. And in the notes it says that Chazonish says that not only does the buyer have this intention, but the seller also has this intention. So also lechol mehen arai, you can't eat from them arai, meaning that even though it's loy nigmar malachtoi, because in its current state it's still as yet to be pressed into a cake, nonetheless, you can't eat from an arai because the maisa mekach is considered a kaveya, even on davar shalonim or malachtai. This is the sheet of Rameir, musakin demai. And if the seller is not maris, you have to be musakin as demai because of maybe he fixed it. That they hold no, that the mekach by itself is not enough to consider a gemar malacha if it's davar shalonim or malachta. So you can continue to eat it arai, musakin levadai, because for sure no one has taken off any mice or so from this thing yet because it hasn't reached the stage yet. You don't have to be worried about that. Divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hila, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shem Chalfai. So Rabbi Yosi said that these people, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Hila, said the following in the name of Chalfai. Rabbi Yonah Ashkechon Aksiv Pinchasev de Chalfai. This apparently is another version of the Chacham that they found written in the notebook in Chalfai. If somebody buys the dates and has intention to press them into figs, I'm going, all right, you can eat from the Maharai and Masakhan Demai, which is
the Chachamim
again, the same thing. And that's exactly what it said before. It's not different. It says it's an alternative version. I don't understand how it's alternative. It's exactly the same thing.
It's an alternative version, but somebody.
Alternative source?
Says it, yeah.
It's alternative source? Okay. But the din is the same. Vikasha, it's difficult. And Michael, the Gemara now is going to ask a question. It seems to be a stira. How could you say, if you're eating it in an arai way, casual manner, saktan vadai, so then it follows that if you're going to be masakin it because it's learning from malakto. So that means when you're going to have to masakin it should be definite tevel. And if you're going to say that it's a sophic, hey, asalechem him, all right, then let's not allow you to be eat from all right, because maybe it was already nigmar malacht already. Maybe they took off the truma already. It seems to me that you're taking both kulas. It says in the bottom here,
yeah.
11. If the buyer is allowed to tithe the dates or figs with the leniency of demai, we're obviously assuming that the amaretz had a motive to tithe the fruits himself prior to the sale, because they will become obligated in tithes when he sells them. But if indeed a tithing obligation is established as a result of a purchase, then it should be forbidden as tevel. That's the question. How is it possible to adopt both leniencies at the same time? That seems to be Gemara's question. So Gemara says, it's no, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Hila, it's not a stira. Eichel ben Arai, Mishum Zavar Shalim, Mamalachto. You could eat Arai because it's not finished. V'sakt unto my, because we talk Shabeso Tavel, because the seller knows that if you bring it into the house, it'll become Tavel. He doesn't realize that the bias only is Kaveya if it's a Dover Shenigma Malachto. So this is the mistake that Maharetz makes. He thinks that the bias is Kaveya, even a Dover Shalignigma Malachto. And he therefore will take Shuma from the very beginning, while it was still unprocessed. So that's why it's no Saktain Demai. 12. First the Gemara was assuming that he definitely did not take off the Maisos before selling them. because and now the Gemara concludes, and in fact, the opposite is true. We assume it was already tied by the Amoraites, because he doesn't realize that only processed produce becomes tevel when it's brought into the house. So they might take maestros even. They may take trumas and maestros even earlier. Yeah. Okay. Kalkolas te'enim. So now we're talking about the case of the basket of the figs. So we said that in the case of the basket, the chachamim hold that you can't eat it. There are also maskim you can't. And right, we said that when it came to, what was it? It was truma, right? So the question of whether truma is kaveya. So we said that chachamim held if it's from a basket, then and truma is kaveya. It's true of any kind of fruit. It's not a specific kind of fruit. So the Gemara said that Rav Shimon, the Mishnah said that Rav Shimon is matarit. So Rav Shimon, the Gemara gives an interesting kalachimer over here. Rav Shimon was matarit because he held like this. Ma im b'shah sheishol hazi kashloishish ma'isres. Makes a kalachimer. Let's suppose, marach, if in a case where you have to take off three additional separations. You have to take off Truma, Meister, and Meister Sheni. Mm-hmm. Right? And in that case, we say what? You still have that pending. So we say there you're allowed to go ahead and eat it Derech Arai. So Kol Shekein, if you took off Trumas, and now all you have left is two Hafrashas, in other words, Which is more mistaver, to say that you can eat it Arai when it has three things that are still pending, or so if you can eat it Arai when three things are pending, so Kol Shekein you can eat it Arai when two things are pending. You say it hasn't been established when being brought into the house. So Bashash in Allah Azika Shnei Maisis like Kol Shekein. Certainly should be allowed to. Right? Rav Shimon argues, since the separation of Truma diminishes the tithing and liability of the remaining produce, surely cannot be a catalyst for establishing the produce's tithing obligation. So therefore he rejects the whole concept of Truma creating a tithing obligation. The Chacham disagree, no. What do they hold? Although the separation of truma decreases the number of tithes to which the produce is subject, it can nevertheless increase the force of the remaining maaser obligations. We said as far. We said because the pshat is when you mafresh truma, you're showing you're done with it. That you're not. In other words, you're showing that there's not going to be any more malachas involved in this produce because you're showing I'm done with it by taking the truma. So taking truma shows that this is finished, and therefore it's a kvias. Okay, Yuzayin on Beis. So the Gemara now asks a funny question. Rishon Maushi Yit Bobusheni. So now, according to Rav Shimon, if a person would take on Maaser Rishon, would that be kaveya? So
it was already done by truma.
So based on the Kal V'chaimer, it should be a Kol Shekein, right? His whole Kal V'chaimer was Marach. We have three things outstanding. You can eat it. So if you have two things outstanding, Kol Shekein, you can eat it. So now make the kavachim the same way. Marach, if you have three things, you can eat it. So Kol Shekein, if you only have one thing left that you can eat it, that's really the Gemara's answer. In two, he tries to explain what the halacha means. We're not going to go into that now. Mayim b'shar shein shalav zika shnei maiseres. Adam ramoter b'shar shein alav el zikas maiser echad lo Kol Shekein. The same kavachim where he used for being mater truma should be enough for my solution as well.
In other words, if you have things that you still have to do, where it's not considered complete.
Right.
So as correct. It's complete, you're allowed to nash.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. Last part is whether a buyer is allowed to eat the figs one by one if he receives them from the seller without taking the mices, right? We said Rameir holds a saucer, and was it Rabbi Huda said it's mutter, right? So give me five figs for this iser. The buyer can eat the figs until he ties them. I'm sorry, the buyer may not eat the figs until he takes off maestros. Like our mayor of Yehuda says, you can eat them one by one. What we said when we learned the Mishnah, it means that the seller is picking them off of the tree and giving them to him one at a time.
That's
a lot of question for Yehuda. When is the, when are they arguing? But locate the nosing law. This is regarding when the seller is giving them to the buyer one by one. I would like it last whole. In a case where the buyer himself is collecting the figs to eat them right away, call on a mite, and then even a mayor will agree, shuhu ochal achas achas upatur, that in that case, the mayor would also agree that he could take them one at a time. In Sirev Chayef 5, he says, what's the difference? He says, where the buyer picks it and eats the figs one at a time, it's not apparent that an actual sale has taken place. Perhaps he's simply given permission to pluck a few figs off the tree, and the money is nothing more than a token of appreciation. So he agrees in that case that it's not established until he combines the figs in his hands. When the seller picks the figs, then he considers it evident that a sale has taken place, regardless of whether the buyer combines them or not. So therefore, he holds it's always awesome. Okay. All right. That's the Pashrat Nigmar. Rav Hila B'Shem Rav Lazar, K'Shem Shem Chalukin, Khan, just like they argue by sales, kachalukim b'chatzar beis shmira. So they argue about produce that was brought into a protected courtyard. So what's that mean?
If it's
considered like his house? The bringing of produce into a courtyard is one of the means of establishing a tithing obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Chatzar is one of the things which is machayev.
Is this
Truma.
Concept?
So.
What's the sound?
They were arguing about Mechira, right? Just like they were arguing, just like Rabbi Huda and Meir argued by Mechira, so too they would argue by Chatzar. Meaning
is,
what?
The question is whether the Chatzar has to be what they call protected or not. If it's an open
chutzner,
does that count?
If there's a
roof. That's a general rule. The only time the chutzner is kaveh is if it's chutzner ha-mishtameres. The Gemara darshens that. The Gemara bab mitzi. The Gemara brings a machlokes. Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yanai says that that it's oh gosh, I get this right. Rabbi Yanai says that Achiyur Pnei Habayis, and Rabbi Yochanan says even Chatzar, because it says V'ochlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. That's the pasuk he quotes over there. So it's a machlekes Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says according to Rabbi Yanai, so why does it say according to Rabbi Yochanan it says bias? So it says Chatzar dumya de bias, just like bias is mishtamer. So also Chatzar is it's only a Chatzar that hamishtameres. So it has to be, you know, protect the chutzner. How do you determine whether the chutzner is mishtameres? The Gemara says it's a chutzner that if somebody comes into the backyard, they ask him, what are you doing here? So if it's that kind of chutzner where people are not going and can't go in freely, that's called mishtameres. Okay. So anyways, let's see what it says over here. So just like they argue by mechira, i.e., if Yehuda holds in the case of a courtyard as well, that it's not activated, right? If individual units of produce are brought in and eaten one at a time, it's still, in other words, that's the shaila. Is one at a time still considered arai, even in a chatzar? Rabbi Yehuda holds yeah. Rabbi Meir is going to hold no. That's what he's trying to say over here. Just like Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Meir in Mechira, he argues by chatzar. So the Gemara says, this is the Yerushalmi I mentioned to you yesterday, that the six things that the Rambam says are kaveya. And you look at Perek Dalel, Maaser brings it down over there. The six things that this Yerushalmi mentions, three of them. Okay, mekach, chatzar, and Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't on Torah. These are not biblical. Rather, they're merely by rabbinic decree. Okay, therefore, just like they were lenient in the case of purchased produce and allowed it to be eaten one by one, so the same heter will be one by Chatzar. It's the same thing. Mekach and Chatzar, they're all the same category of being Drabbanan. So the Gemara says, so Chatzar Beis HaShmir. But Rish Lakish says, no, the clearest of all, meaning that it is not a Drabbanan. He holds Chatzar is a D'oraisa. Meaning, it's paralleling the Shita of Rabbi Yanai in the Gemara over there above Metzia. So it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan is coming out like, let's see here. Is it quoted over here? I think so. Yeah, in 11, he says, in Bava Metzia, 87b, 88a, it's Rabbi Yanai, whose Rabbi Yochanan's teacher asserts that only produce in the house is biblically obligated. Rabbi Yochanan holds, the Chatzar also can establish. Here, so this seems to be a disagreement between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Because here in the Yerushalmi, it says clearly, Rabbi Yochanan holds Chatzar Einon Torah. Whereas in the Bavli, it clearly says Rabbi Yochanan holds that Chatzar is Min HaTorah. Because he says, the Bavli quotes the Pasuk by Rabbi Yochanan, Va'achlu B'Sharecha V'Saveyu. So this is one of the cases where you have of a Feirish or Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi in what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Okay. There's a disagreement, what Rabbi Yochanan's Shita was. Okay, fine. All right, whatever it is. So you have here, that's the Gemara here explaining that. Chavrei B'Shem Yochanan Kach Meshiv Reb Yuda as Reb Meir. So they said this in the name of Reb Meir. Don't you admit if you give to your own son individual fruits, shehu pater? So mali like of nice and mali like of nice and lacha. What's the difference whether you give it to your son or you give it to somebody else? A buyer. What's the difference? So it's a funny kind of argument. You, Reb Meir, admit that the purchase does not establish a tithing obligation for individual figs when the buyer does the collecting. We just said that the buyer does the collecting, even Reb Meir is Maida, right? So it's obvious that the transaction in and of itself is not what the Mechayev is, if it's eaten one at a time. Rather, your reason for obligating the individual fruits in the case of the Mishnah must be the fact that the seller is giving the produce to the buyer. But if you hand the figs to your son, the figs remain exempt. Why does giving the produce not affect a tithing obligation in that case, when you says it in the case of a purchase? What, in other words, the way they're learning this question is, what's the difference between giving your son and giving it to somebody else? That seems to be the question.
Giving it to someone else, you're selling it, right?
Right. So, and we always keep saying that matana is not like mechar, so what really was this question? Yeah, it's a funny question because of that. It seems to me there are other pshatim in this Gemara. I don't know what they are. I'm Rav Mana, less kind of like it for Eichel.
The says that the Gemara here is sober, that Matana
is Kemechar.
According to Rav Yehuda.
Yeah.
That's the only chitimsa that it would work. I'm saying, otherwise, how does it work? If Matana is not Koveya, it's not Chayim Maisa then. Right? It has to be that he's sober.
Yeah, but our mission is talking about Mechira. So what's the why would there be an argument here? He says that this Gemara was asking a question on the assumption that we said before that a mayor's argument is only if the seller is the one that's giving it to the lokeach. But if lokeach himself is taking it off the tree,
right,
then even Reb Meir is maskim that he could eat it one at a time. Why? With footnotes that we read just a few minutes ago, because then people looking on could think that he just gave it to him as a matona. He gave him permission. Not necessarily. There isn't necessarily a mechira going on over here. But when they see the mocher taking it, then they know that there was a mechira that took place. That was the Gemara that we said before. So the Gemara seems to be asking on this. Why do you say it's only where the seller gives it to him? Maybe we should say the mayor is stringent. I'm sorry, that's later on. Sorry. That's the next Gemara. Sorry. Go back again. The Gemara was, I read it ahead, sorry. Rabbi Yehuda is supporting his opinion, the Chavraya B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, and Kach Meshav Rabbi Yehuda as Rameya. So this is Rabbi Yehuda answering Rameya's argument. Why are you made by Matana? So what's the difference between Nois and Livnoi? What's the difference between that and Nois and La'achar? So this argument, this is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
That this argument only makes sense if you hold Matanah's command.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Now the Gemara asks, if you're Udon Boy, Machomis Member Blake of a Nice and Light, why do you say he argues only when the seller collects the figs? My name of Blake of Eichel. Perhaps we should. In other words, why did you make that assumption? Maybe he should even argue if the buyer himself is also eating them. How do you know that for sure? More answers on Ramana, less Kambalaika V'Eichel. The dispute is not applicable in the case where the buyer buys them. El Balaika V'Noisim, only when the buyer, only when the seller is giving it to him. Min Hadot, it can be proven from this. Ginas Varadin, because he quoted that the case of the garden in Yerushalayim. That was the proof that we would have quoted. Islach Meimer, Ginas Varadin, Balaika V'Eichel. And you have a case where the lokeach is going into the garden, that's impossible. No one's going to let somebody to go into that rare garden and pick himself. Lo belokate the noisim lo. It's got to be that the seller is giving it to him. So you see that they're talking about that case. Do omar lay, and how do I know that? Because the seller would tell him, in at Allah at Makal Gradaya, if you're going to enter the garden, you're going to damage the roses. So I won't let you go in there. So, from Ramana's proof, it's evident that he understood that the rose garden actually contained rose bushes. The Gemara says it's not necessarily true. Masisa pliga al Havaya de Ramana. There's a brisa that says not like him. Now we're on Yud Ches. The Gemara finally ends up commenting, Maikalach, if someone involved in a sale of land, and I tell you, I'm selling you a vineyard. So that the rule is, this is the Gemara Bavasar, it says on the bottom, that Afavisha'im Boygafanim, even if there's no grapevines in this piece of land, it's Hareza Macher, it's still sold anyway. So I'm telling you, I'm selling you a vineyard. And then it turns out there's no vineyards at all on the land. Why don't you say it's a Mechotos? No. Shalom Machalo Elashmo. He did not sell him anything but its name. In other words, there was a reputation that the name of this land was Vineland. It's like Vineland, New Jersey, right? You're going to say that there are grapevines in Vineland, New Jersey? No, it's called Vineland, that's all. Kardisani Merkeloch, I'm selling you the orchard off between Loy Lonis, even though no trees are in Machor, it's social in Machor, again, the same thing. It's called Orchardville, right? So you see that land can refer to as vineyard or orchard, even though there's no grapevines or vineyards. So similarly, perhaps when it says Ginas Varadin, even though we call it a rose garden, maybe there are no rose bushes in there.
Survey the land. So
we're not compelled. So what are we trying to prove here? You're not compelled to say it was always the seller. So the buyer wouldn't be trampling over any roses, right, to ruin anything.
So he
could go in and collect it himself. So you see this Bryce argues on this assumption that he's making. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry, Zion.